This is the Church of God of Carmichael Sunday Morning Gospel Podcast.
The power of God. All right, let's stand for a minute. If you're able, we'll just read one scripture and then you can be seated. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 13, the power of God. Matthew 6, the Gospel of Matthew. Just for a moment. Matthew 6 and verse 13. So when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, this was part of that prayer. Obviously, it meant very much to him. That's why he taught it to them. And along in this here, he says, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then he says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Some authors would translate this as the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power. Listen, thine is the kingdom. And then, each word he's chosen very carefully. There's a message in each word that he's chosen. And he says, thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Father, we thank you for your blessing today. We're encouraged. It's a good day outside. It reminds us of rebirth. It reminds us of flowers coming out and green things all over. And amen, before the heat of the summer turns it all brown, Lord, and there's still water in the earth and everything is growing. And it reminds us of a rebirth after a long winter. And here we are this morning, studying the Word of God, singing these good songs, desiring to be strengthened and lifted up, drawn closer to you, to sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. So we pray that you bless our thoughts this morning. We come here often. We pray often. We say a lot of the same things. But yet we know this is real. This is real. And the alternative is also very real and horrible. And so this is a blessing. Help us not take it for granted. Help us not presume that the alternative is not as bad as it really is. God, help us this morning become quite attuned to the Spirit of God. Lord bless and keep our thoughts. We know sometimes, even in a service of some period of time, our minds can wander. Bring us back in, we pray. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. Amen. All right. Okay. My wife and I have 4 boys. Amen. And in our family, we have ways of learning that make it interesting to pay attention over longer periods of time. Does anybody here does that ring a bell with anybody here? Where if you're trying to pay attention to somebody over a longer period of time, sometimes your mind begins to wander, you just check out for a minute, and then, okay. So, this is normal. This is normal. I'm aware of this. It's better in a morning than it is in an evening. But even in a morning, sometimes, after about 20 minutes, if you find yourself distracted and you're looking at the dust next to you and wondering how it got there. And then there's a whole story that starts to develop around, and then you come back in to the message, amen, and I'm in a different chapter and you have no idea how I got where I am. That's all right. Just bring your mind back in, amen, come back into the service, stay with us, amen, until the final gong rings. All right. Amen. Because we need this. Amen. I'd like to share with you this morning some thoughts about the power of God, or we could also call it the strength of God. The strength of God is important when we start thinking about attaching to God. We need God's power and His strength in order to attach to Him. He has unlimited power, right? If I thought about this, if you added up all of the power in the universe, all of the energy in the universe, all of the, you know, the sun's exploding and the stars being formed and whatever's out there in between and things that hold things together so they don't tear apart, and all the forces and all the power in the universe, God is infinitely more powerful than that. He made all that, and yet He didn't spend any of Himself. He had a lot left over, infinitely left over. That's who we serve. We don't serve a finite God who spent 13 billion of something or whatever of something else to create what it is, and then He's only got some of it left. Infinitely, infinitely more. We can't even imagine attaching to that. We can't even imagine that. But I'm going to create, and sometimes through the message this morning, exaggerations. I'm going to create some exaggerations to help us get out of our limited thinking and somehow begin to understand the power of God that's available to us so that we can conquer. There's things that we have to do with strength, and that's what we're going to be studying this morning. It's our hope. The power, the strength of God is our hope, our very present hope in time of trouble. It's not off in the future someplace. It's not waiting for us to get to Him. It's available to us now. And Satan wants to hinder that, and he wants to destroy that encounter, that connection, that attachment. Amen. But God is here with us now, present now. He's present with us. He's present to be worshiped now. So it's an opportunity that we have, wherever we are, whenever we get together, or wherever you are, an opportunity to worship God. Thank you, Father, for your wonderful salvation. Thank you for the Lamb. Amen. Thank you for the Lamb. And I'm going to digress. Some of this is not in my notes. You know, when Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and you remember, you read how troubled that he was, and his spirit was so full of anguish and so heavy, and he went off a little ways to pray alone, and his disciples stayed back. And he did it several times. He went back to check on his disciples, and then he says, "Tarry, sleep on, for the time has not yet come." And then he'd go off again, and he would pray, and he was so heavy. And what was happening was that the human was in agony, whether or not it could complete the will of God, because the human is so weak. I thought as I drove to church this morning, I said, "Father, I am so weak." In a certain sense, and I hope you don't take me wrong, I said, "I am so close to destruction. If it's not for your Son, if it's not for Christ Jesus, I have no power, I have no strength. That's why I am so close to destruction, if you don't have mercy on me. And if I can't access grace to help me overcome, I am so close. So don't abandon me. Stay close to me. Help me understand. Help me attach." And he said, when he prayed, he said, "For thine," these are, this is why we pray, because you have the kingdom, And you have the power and you have the glory. Not that it just sits in heaven and it's not accessible, but as we pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debts. The way we're able to do that is that you give us something of that you have that's eternal and limitless. You give us that, and so we're able to do this. We're able to do things that we couldn't do ourselves. You lift me up to be able to do things that I couldn't do myself. Awesome power of God. Luke chapter 10. And the reason this message is important to me this morning is because we need to be encouraged to fight a fight against an adversary who wants to destroy us. We need to understand this. There is an adversary who is Satan who wants to destroy you. And we heard this a lot, but I don't think we understand what this really means until you come very, very close to being destroyed. And then the spiritual battle starts to get real. Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. Jesus was speaking to his disciples, and he said, "Behold, I give unto you power. I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy." Now look at that. Is there anything too hard for God that we cannot access to overcome every power of the enemy? Is there anything too hard for God? The answer is no. "And over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Amen. "Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that your spirits are subject unto you, the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven." So don't rejoice if for some time you feel rather strong and then you start feeling pretty cocky. I hope not. But rejoice because God has saved you. And I want to get back to this. Jesus is in the garden. And the struggle that he's undergoing in the garden, the choice, and God is leaving him the choice. God is leaving him the choice. God is saying to Christ, "You can turn back now and run away. I'm allowing you to do that. Or you can continue on and go to what you know is coming." And can you imagine the struggle in his heart that he was enduring? Knowing that there was nothing stopping him from going back and avoiding all that, right, pain. And on the other hand, the other option was infinitely worse, which is a horrible death. And he knew the two options. So on the one hand, the option is save yourself and avoid all this pain, run away. And the other option is continue on to a horrible death. That decision in and of itself is hell on earth. That decision right there. And there are moments in our life, perhaps, when the contrast is so stark that we get in that place, in that garden ourselves. And God, the reason why it's so hard is because God gives you a choice. He gives you a choice to fall back into the flesh and into perdition and everything that goes with it. Envy, anger, bitterness, fault finding, gossiping and rumoring. Amen. Misunderstanding. It's despair. It's discouragement. He allows you to go back into that. And it seems like that's a better choice than crucifying the flesh. But that actually is the choice. Or you must go on and crucify the flesh. Now, if you're saved, you understand what that means. And that's why that decision becomes ever so hard. But we only have one choice if we're going to make heaven our home. When we're in that garden of despair, What waits for us is a cross. Do you agree? Do you follow me? When you're in that garden of despair, which is whatever the profound decision, and these are not just, you know, I wonder if I should go to Disneyland or I wonder if I should go to work. No, this is a decision of like experience, like my greatest loves are at risk here. That kind of decision. And God is telling you, look, you really only have one choice. You have to go to the cross. You got to nail yourself to the cross. You have to be willing to nail yourself to the cross. And if you will do that, what follows will be more glorious and better, and it will give you greater strength than any decision you can make to go back. What follows is a resurrection. But you have to die before you can be resurrected. You got to die. Your opinions, your loves, your hopes, whatever it is that has not yet been nailed to the cross. Amen. God might allow you some things, but first you have to nail yourself to the cross. There's no power and no strength unless you stay. If you nail that old person, if you nail the flesh to the cross, well then God will raise you up because he raised up Christ. When we follow the pattern that Christ followed, when we go to the garden, when we suffer in the garden, amen. And when we make the right decision not to go back out of the garden but to go forward to the cross, when we make that decision, the plan of God starts in motion. And it can't be stopped. So when we allow our flesh to be nailed to the cross, when we crucify our loves and our desires, and we say, Lord, whatever you raise up, I'm willing to be that person. When we allow that, it sets in motion a plan, an eternal plan which cannot be changed. And when you are nailed to the cross, the eternal plan is you will be raised up again. He will raise up a new creation after that. Amen. I like that part because the world is so uncertain. So uncertain. Offers so much promise and so much hope. And it lies over and over again. Amen. It's so uncertain. But the plan of God is so certain. So sure. Amen. And Satan, he wants to get inside your head and convince you that somehow the plan of God is just as unsure as what the world is offering. And that's a lie. The plan of God is more certain. There is a plan which is set in motion. So we need strength. Without strength, we're weak. You can think of all of this yourself. What do you need strength for? Let's start with get up in the morning. Anybody need strength to get up in the morning? And not just physical strength, mental strength. Right? We got to turn our head on and say, I need strength to face the day. All right? You got to have strength just to get up in the morning. Hours go by, you need strength just to get through the day. And then all the other things that you need strength for. I'm thinking in a physical sense. You need strength to move things. You need strength to lift things. You need strength to avoid dangers that are coming. We need strength. If we're going to build something, we need strength to build it. Strength is important. Not only that, but as time goes on, we need strength to endure. It's one thing to start, and Jesus said, who would build a tower without knowing how to finish it? Amen. There was a certain freeway that for years was in San Jose, and it just ended in space. They started it, it was an overpass. They just started and left it there. Amen, it just ended. And people looked at it as a symbol of things that good intentions not fulfilled. And there are lots of reasons for all this stuff. But we need strength to endure. We need strength to overcome. Once we've endured, we need strength to overcome. We need strength to conquer an enemy. Right? Amen. Whatever our affliction is, whatever our problem is, amen. In order to conquer a problem, you need strength bigger than the problem. If your strength is less than the problem, you will not conquer the problem. We need strength to conquer an enemy. We need strength to impress or to witness. People are impressed by strength. Amen. Amen. If an army goes out to engage the enemy, and the enemy assesses the strength of the opposing army, and the enemy says, you know what? My judgment is that their strength is not as great as ours. Well, it gives them courage to engage and prosecute the battle, amen, and not give up. Strength in a battle helps us not give up. Amen. This is, for some people, an interesting topic that over time in these battles that have occurred in between armies in different places and the generals that prosecuted these battles. Napoleon was a very interesting general. He could take a smaller army against a much larger army, and because of his strategy and his tactics, but not only because of that, it was the determination that he impressed in his troops that they could win. And even though they were smaller, sometimes much smaller, they could defeat or they could rout an enemy, a much larger enemy. I wonder if that's what happened to David and Goliath. Little tiny guy, 5 little stones, amen, piece of leather and a sling, big tall giant, armor, sword. I wonder if David somehow had access to power that the stronger and bigger enemy didn't have access to. And as a result, he was able to conquer an enemy which was much bigger and much stronger than he was in that sense. Right? So strength is critical for us to survive, to thrive, to win, to continue, to endure. We need strength for a sound mind. We need strength for a sound body. We need strength for a strong spirit. Amen. Some of us are born with a measure of strength, and you know, we have a natural ability to become stronger. Sometimes that ability is compromised in the ways that I've just addressed, the sound body, the sound mind, the sound spirit. Sometimes that ability is compromised because of different reasons. Amen. The Bible talks about strength in a lot of places. In the book of Revelation, the prophet is speaking to a church, and he says, in the church, the Philadelphia church, he says, thou hast a little strength, a little strength. And Paul speaks to the Corinthians, and he says, to those that are least esteemed or not held in high regard, that they have a little strength. And sometimes we think that we have a little strength. We don't have much strength. When Peter was walking on the water, amen, first his strength was quite enough, right? And he was walking, but then he doubted and he began to sink and his strength failed him. We need strength. We need strength. Peter started to sink. We need the strength that comes from God. So I thought we need three things. We need strength to grow. We need strength to endure or persevere. And we need strength to conquer. So we're going to speak about three things. We need strength to begin or to grow. We need strength to endure, and we need strength to conquer. To begin, to endure, to conquer. 2 Peter chapter 3. I want to talk about strength and power. We need it. 2 Peter chapter 3. Okay, verse 18. Amen. We need strength to grow. To begin, to grow. You can't grow unless you begin. Verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory now and ever. Amen. Grow in grace and knowledge. We're supposed to grow in grace and we're supposed to grow in knowledge. We can't grow unless we have strength. We can't grow unless we begin. Acts chapter 3. We need strength to grow. Acts chapter 3, verse 6. So the first thing we're considering here is strength to grow, strength to begin. Acts chapter 3, verse 18. I think is what I got. Nope, verse 6. Beg your pardon. Acts 3 and 6. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none." He was witnessing to the man who was lame on the steps of the temple. "But such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Amen. Peter was accessing unlimited strength. I think after this encounter, I don't even have to read the next verse. After this much, my belief is that whatever this man needed, he was going to get. And then he took him by the right hand, and he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So when we need strength or power from God, if it's your desire to get it from God, it's God's desire to give it to you. And this man was lame, and his ankle bones and his feet would not support his weight. That was where his problem was. His problem was not in his hands or his arms or his shoulders or his torso. His problem was not in his desire. His problem was a physical problem in his ankles and his feet. And so when he was attached to the power of God by the prayer of the saints, God from heaven sent unlimited power into his ankle bones and his feet. And where the problem was, that is where the strength went to. God knows exactly how to fix us. He knows exactly how to strengthen us. Amen. So if the power, amen, is here, excuse me, if the problem is here, if the problem is inside here, if the problem is inside here, amen. Now I also know that God told Paul, who prayed 3 times, that the thorn in his flesh might be removed, and God said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." I get that. I get that. I'm just going to the pattern. If the problem is here, God will send his power to here. If the problem is here, in these joints right here, God will send the power here. If the problem is here, God will send the power here. That's where God will send. I'm wondering, do you believe this or not? I'm not asking you to have phony faith. It's just the pattern which God has set, right? If the problem was in my spirit, and my spirit was cast down, David was cast down. If the problem is in my spirit, God will send the power to your spirit to raise you up. And I'm not suggesting that we should feel condemned by any remedies. That's why I said earlier this year, whatever you have to do, I firmly believe that whatever you have to do, God is in favor of that, according to his will, if it allows you to be a more effective testimony for Christ. Okay, so I'm not one of these that says, you know, because God has unlimited power, well then you have to put yourself in a black box and wait for God to take the cover off and burst open the box. It's kind of this, you know, that kind of thing. No. But simply the pattern. The man is lame, amen, and God sends the power right where the man's problem was. Amen. Acts chapter 16. I guess one of the learning lessons there is don't be tempted to make excuse that you are destined to be disabled emotionally, physically, or spiritually. Don't believe that you are destined to be disabled. It's my brother, it's my destiny. I have to endure this. God gives me grace, but I'm weak. I have little strength, and it's my destiny. And I would challenge you, I would say, no, it is not your destiny. So you have to decide if you are going to allow God to give you the power to solve your infirmity or your weakness, to build up your strength. Acts 16 and verse 5. Now, and so were the churches after they had prayed and testified and worked and so forth. And so were the churches established in the faith, increased in number daily. That's in verse 5 in Acts 16. The churches were established and increased because of the power of God. Amen. For a church to be established and increased, there must be power flowing into that church. There must be a buildup of strength. And so for each one of us, we have an opportunity to have God's power and strength build us up. It's necessary. It's not a nice to have. It's not where, well, those that are pillars in the congregation, well, we'll just depend on them to carry us. Or this brother who testifies a lot, or that sister who sings. Amen. And see, because the danger in that is one says, I will be comfortable with little strength. There's no reason for you to be comfortable with little strength. And the church is built up when that which has little strength is given greater strength. So power begins and it starts to grow. We cannot begin to grow unless we have a beginning. And so power starts with being born again. Power starts with salvation, right? So if there's somebody here that you're not saved, you may know Christ because you know him here, but you're separated from him. You're separated. You are separated from the power that you need, amen, to conquer the enemy and these other things that we're going to get to. There has to be a beginning. It begins with salvation. I was writing this message on my computer at home. And under my desk, there's a power cord that goes into the wall. And my feet were fiddling, and I accidentally disconnected the power cord from my computer, and my screen went blank. It went black. Amen. And there's sometimes I'm thankful for Google because it saves what you do without having to save it. And everything that I've been working on went black. I disconnected the power cord. I lost power. And I immediately knew what I had done because I've done it before. And so I looked under there, and I plugged the power cord back in the wall, and I turned the computer back on. But you know how it goes. It's like somebody told me one time, and Brother Gene will correct me, but this is just what I've heard. It's like an old Buick, one of the big old Buicks, getting on the freeway. They start really slow, but once they get up to speed, they hum right along pretty good. It just takes a while to get that thing on the on-ramp and get it up to the speed. You know, it's not a Ferrari. You don't go from here to there right now. And my computer, it takes time to get back up to speed. But I had to start over. I had to start from the beginning. First thing I had to do was I had to plug in the power cord to turn the thing on. Then I had access to power. And then the computer does the thing, it turns on. And then I got back to the place where I had stopped working. And then in the little corner of my screen up there, there's a little box that says restore. And I thought, I was, what's the guy that was, Jonah. For a moment, I was sitting outside Nineveh in the heat, and the gourd had withered, and I was angry. I was angry that this thing had happened to me. I was right in the middle of this. I was humming along pretty good, and now I got to start all over again. And God said to Jonah, he said, why are you so upset? I withered up your little gourd, but there's 100,000 people here who don't know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle, and should I destroy them? And I thought, you know what? My problem was not so big. And up in the corner, because I had to start over, was a little box that said restore. Because if you click that box, it'll take you back to where you were. Well, if we get in trouble, and even if we fall or fail, we have to plug in the power cord again, which is prayer to repent. And we have to say, I unplugged my power cord. Because it's not God that limits his access to you. It is we that unplug ourselves from his power. You follow? And I had unplugged the power cord, and so I had to plug it back in. And so it's like repenting. And then you repent, but you have to go through and do your first works over again to get back to where you were. And along the way, there's a little box that says restore. And God will restore. God will restore. And I thought about that scripture in the Old Testament. God will restore the years that the palmer worm has eaten, that the canker worm, is that how it goes, has consumed, something like that. And what he means is those moments and those opportunities and those years that we've lost because we lost power, amen, and we were back in darkness, amen. It was almost as if there's a void there, an emptiness, when we weren't connected and things should have been happening, but they weren't. But if you come to the place where you can plug back in again, and then there's that restore button, God will restore to, what a miracle. We pulled the plug. We lost the access. Nobody caused me to pull the plug. The dog didn't come in and say, pull the plug. My wife didn't come in and say, pull the plug. I wasn't distracted and pulled the plug. I pulled the plug. It was my situation. And yet, despite that, God had mercy on a person. God will have mercy on a person who pulls the plug. They pull it, they plug it, and God will restore. If you go back to the beginning, God will go back to the beginning with you. Do you follow me? If you can go back to the beginning, God will go back to the beginning with you. And he will restore the years that the palmer worm has eaten. Amen. That's miraculous. How could that possibly happen? Because of the power of God. I'm encouraged this morning. Amen. Amen. It begins with a humble heart. A heart willing to be wrong and willing to learn. And God will make us right. Amen. Are y'all still plugged in this morning? Or is it kind of unplugged and the screen is flickering? Or is it unplugged? Where are you? Where are you this morning? Strength. Got a strength to begin. Power to begin means power to grow. Things will unplug us. Pride will unplug us. Look at discouragement will unplug us. Despair will. What's despair? Despair is discouragement that's never fixed. Loneliness can unplug us. All these other things, lust and jealousy and envy, all that stuff can unplug us. Amen. Satan is the master unplugger, and he looks for opportunities to unplug good people. He's like a scavenger. He's a hyena. Satan is a hyena. He looks for wounded or dying animals, and he wants to unplug them. Satan, that's his job. He's looking for people to unplug. Don't let him do that. He preys on the weak, the 23rd Psalm. Amen. I think we'll get to the next part of strength, and that might be all we get to this morning. The 23rd Psalm. So there's a beginning in strength. It comes from salvation. That's where our strength comes from. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. What's he do next? He plugs me in. He plugs me in and he helps me get back to where I was. He restores the soul. He doesn't simply turn it on. He doesn't simply give it a strength of power. He restores it. We damaged our soul. It got sick in sin. Sometimes it got to despair in sin. People that are sick and in despair, they need hope. Hope comes from restoration. Restoration creates hope. I don't know if you're encouraged this morning. Maybe you've read this too, and I know you're listening, but there's an element here. I hope the Spirit is speaking to us. He restores my soul. Amen. He restores my soul. Amen. The strength of God converts the heart of the sinner and makes them a saint. Isaiah 59. There's a beginning that gives us strength. Isaiah 59. We need strength. Isaiah 59, first verse. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. That's important. Neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. God's power is limitless. Limitless. Unlimited. We can't even understand that. But your iniquities have separated you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. And your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. It is not God that cannot reattach to you. It is whether or not you can move from the garden to the cross. That is the key. Can you move from the garden to the cross? If you can move to the cross, God's power is limitless. Unlimited. The strength of God converts the sinner. Amen. This word strength that we're using, it comes from the same word that we use for dynamic. That's the same word in the Bible that we're considering. Strength also means dynamic. Amen. Dynamic is used in a lot of different ways, but it means power. God gives us power. In the old days, instead of an alternator in your car, you had a generator. They also called it a dynamo. It was a mechanical device that made electrical energy from the motion of the automobile. Dynamo, dynamic. A dynamo we also use for a person. If we say that person's a real dynamo, they're like they're like somebody that has a lot of energy. They never stop. Two-year-olds are real dynamos. People say if you had to follow a two-year-old around the house during the day, you would get so tired that you would just drop over, and they would still be going. Two-year-olds are real dynamos. I don't know how that is. God gives strength to the young. Amen. So we need to be young. Dynamo. God is the strength of the Christian. He powers us. He's the source of unlimited power and strength. And then God gives us power to endure. So we need power to grow. And then he gives us, once we grow a little bit, we got to hang on. Then he gives us power to endure. Matthew 24. Strength, power. We begin, but we got to hang on. And that's our part. We got to hang on. 24:13. He shall endure to the end. That person's going to be saved. There's two things that you need to endure. Anything. Amen. You're in the kitchen. You're preparing a meal. You come home from work. You're very tired. You don't really want to do that. Amen. But you know you've got to eat, and you're preparing this meal. You need endurance. Amen. You're at work, and it's a long day, and you're getting tired at the end of the day. You need endurance to get to the end. Amen. You wake up in the morning. You have some strength to get up. Amen. But you want to see the sunset. You need endurance to get to that point. You're in a race, and you start well. But in order to finish, you need endurance. You need two things, strength and determination, right? To endure, we need two things, strength and determination. Real simple, to endure. A lot of people have a little strength, and they can still finish if they have determination. The Philadelphia church had a little strength. They needed determination. If you have a little strength and you have enough determination, you can serve God. And you can even avoid the foolishness of the world. You don't have to be Hercules in spiritual strength as long as you have enough determination. I'm glad God gave me some determination, because there are times when I feel my strength is very low and very weak. But up until this point, God has given me determination. Now you pray for me, because Satan wants to take down those that will influence others. He wants dominoes to fall, right? So sometimes the mind battles for a person in leadership in any place, it's strong. Satan knows, you know. And so we have to have determination. We also need determination to pick ourselves up and get back in the race if we fail. Amen. Any endeavor that requires determination to finish will be tested and tried, even by despair. Determination will be tested, and doubt, tested with envy, and tested with fear, and tested. Your determination is going to be tested. And Satan is going to be running right alongside of you to test you and poke you and cause you to doubt and cause you to get angry and cause you to get upset and cause you to get bitter and cause you to get frustrated and cause you to want to strike out and lash out. Satan's going to be running right with you. And he's not going to tell you that he's right there, but he wants you to fall. He wants you to fail. Amen. He's testing your determination to love. Real simple. He's testing you. I wish we could see. You know, Brother Sam used to tell us, if we could only see the spirits that are afflicting us, then we would understand how real this is. And they're testing, trying to find a weakness in you, an entrance in you, a doubt in you, a frustration or testing, looking for a way in. Amen. That's why we need the power of God to endure. He says, those that endure to the end, they will be saved. Mark chapter 4. We're going to finish after these verses. We need power to endure. Mark chapter 4, verse 17. All right. Those that have no root in themselves and so endure but for a time, afterward when affliction or persecution ariseth, for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. It's that ground which can't endure. They have no root in themselves. They don't have determination. They've got a little strength, but not enough determination. Many begin with zeal, but they lack determination. Determination is not exciting. It's not flashy. It's not glitzy. Determination. Determination is what keeps you going. Amen. Just when it just keeps you going. Not flashy. The runner who is not the fastest can still finish the race as long as they're determined. But determination, that's in the middle of this story. Starting and beginning, growing, determination, conquering. In the middle is determination. That's what keeps us going day after day. Amen. All right. 1 Samuel 17. And we refer to David because we're talking about the power to endure. Amen. And we're illustrating the need for determination. 1 Samuel 17. Amen. Praise God this morning. 17. 1 Samuel 17 and right around 26. So he Goliath boasts of his power. And David spoke to the men that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" David had little power in relationship to the Goliath that faced him. But David had tremendous determination. Can you see that? Little tiny David, big, huge Goliath, sword, armor, warrior, shepherd, stones, sling. Little tiny David, little power, big power, tremendous determination. And that little power and determination plugged him in to unlimited power. This fight was over before it began. The giant was never going to win. He should have fled before David ever went down to the brook. He should have run for the hills. It was over before it began. The God of the universe was fighting against Goliath, not David. The God of the universe was going to win the battle, not David. He had little power, great determination, and God helped him endure, plugged him in. Great power to fight back. And I love this scripture. David basically says, "How dare you," to this giant. "How dare you lie to me?" See, we need to say that to Satan, because our enemy is not our husband. Our enemy is not our wife. Our enemy is not our child. Our enemy is not the other. Our enemy is not our boss at work. Our enemy is not our neighbor. Our enemy is not that fellow that just cut me off. Whatever you want to say. Our enemy is Satan. Our enemy is Satan. So whatever you do, fight against Satan. And I love this. David says essentially to Satan, "How dare you discourage me? How dare you tell me to quit or not even try? How dare you do that?" See, we need to have that boldness when we're fighting this fight, this spiritual fight. And we tend, discouragement and so forth and doubt, see, we need to tell Satan, "How dare you? How dare you?" Right? Don't give in to despair. Don't give in to doubt. Don't say, you know, the enemy is stronger or this excuse or that wonderment. How dare you? See, we can say that by the power of God. If we're plugged in and we have the access to that strength, that's why we need it so much. We need to have a how dare you attitude towards Satan. I started this race. I'm not going to give up now. Even if I stumble or fall, I'm still going to finish. I am determined. In fact, even if I'm running beyond my ability, I am still going to try, and I'm going to trust that God will help me finish. Now look, if I need to change, he also asks you this. If I need to change, I am determined to change. Not I am unwilling, not I am determined to be the same, not I'm confident in my own strength, not he's wrong and I'm right. If I need to change, if I need to change. In 1 John, he was writing to the saints, not the world, about our love for the other. If I need to change, I am determined to change. Because if I do not change, I limit my access to the power. This is so important. And then finally, in Luke chapter 10 and verse 18, I'm getting a bit angry right now. And my anger is at Satan. Because I am suggesting, how dare he come in here and try and pull off people and try and discourage people and to doubt people and get other things. How dare he? And it's this indignation that we say, God, amen, send power down. Amen. That we might access unlimited strength to fight this enemy and say, how dare he? Amen. Right? Amen. Don't go about this willy-nilly. Well, you know, I've been saved a long time. And you know, I'm just getting a little discouraged. And I've been carrying a lot. And you know, it's not like it used to be. And, you know, the preaching has kind of fallen off. And I don't have any friends. And woe is me. And that can be real. That can be real. That can be real. Somewhere there's a voice in them that's saying, how dare he? There's a still small voice that says, how dare he? Amen. We need to listen to that one and let it grow and say, how dare he? How dare he talk to me like that? How dare he discourage me? How dare he to get me contrary and to get me in a box or in a corner? How dare he? Luke chapter 10, verse 18. And Jesus was hearing the report of his disciples, the 70 that had come out, and they returned again with joy. And they said, we saw devils that are subject unto us through thy name. And Jesus said to them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. I give you power to tread on scorpions and serpents and all power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. And when he gave them that power, he said, I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. When we have access to the power that we need, Satan falls not gradually, not with doubt, not leaving part of himself in the picture. Now, Satan falls like lightning. Lightning doesn't take a long time to get from heaven to earth. Lightning goes quick, milliseconds. Satan fell like lightning from those people that were possessed. Why? Because the power of God, when it confronts the power of Satan, is no contest. Amen. I saw Satan fall. I saw him fall. I saw him fall fast. Because my power and my strength fell fast. And the power of God eliminated the power of Satan. It overtook it. And I like this word. The power of God dominated the power of Satan. God is not, his hand is not short that it cannot save. The power of God dominated the opposition. If you have a problem in your life that you're dealing with, the power of God is there to dominate. Now, here's the thing. When you try to dominate the problem, you will fail. You're only going to make it worse. Good luck with that. When you allow the power of God to dominate the situation, how do you do that? You give up. You let go. Amen. Haven't you ever been so weary that you just didn't think you could go on, but somehow you got there? That's called determination. Amen. And it was almost like you said, you know what? I don't know how I did this. It must have been God that helped me do this because I was out of strength. I was out of gas. And somehow I did it. That kind of power. People that are in athletic competitions and they're running or swimming or whatever they're doing, there gets a point where you come to a place, it's like a wall of pain. And in order for you to not only endure but to win, it's almost like you have to pretend like the pain is not there. You have to be so used to the pain, so present with the pain, that it doesn't scare you to cause you to retreat. Because if you retreat, you lose. But if you get to that wall of pain, you say, ah, my good old friend, I am present with you again. Amen. And then your determination kicks in. And from someplace comes strength that you didn't know you had. And that's the way it is when we serve God. We hit a wall of pain, a wall of discouragement, a wall of despair. And from someplace comes power that we didn't know we had. And when you allow that power to take over your situation, and you say, brother, what's the other, you know, what's the other the other boundary there? What's the other boundary? If pain is one boundary, what's the other boundary? The other boundary, in that place where pain is, when the power of God takes over, that's when love takes over. The boundary of pain or discouragement or despair, which would leave us floundering with no hope. See, that's where the world ends up. Where we are, that's where God takes over. In that boundary, there's also a boundary of love, amen, which is much more powerful than the pain. And when we access that, it's like you get a second wind. The afterburners come on, amen. I grew up in San Diego. There's a golf course called Torrey Pines. It's on the ocean between Miramar Naval Air Station and the ocean. And the F-14s would take off from the Naval Air Station, they'd fly over the golf course at their altitude, pretty level. And then as soon as they got over the ocean, they went like this. And you saw these twin orange afterburners come on. And you heard the roar and you felt the power of this plane. And you saw those orange things come on and you thought, my, this is impressive. Amen. If you've ever been to Cape Canaveral or Cape Kennedy in Florida and you watched a rocket take off, I had the privilege, and I was about 50 miles away, and I saw a space shuttle take off one time. I was in a building on the second floor, and the space shuttle took off, and you could see the smoke coming, you know, the shuttle going up, and the window started to rattle like this 50 miles away. And you felt it. You just felt 50 miles away. The power of the engines that was lifting that payload. And I'm thinking, God's power is unlimited. God's power is more than that. Whatever the problem is, amen, you think of these metaphors that I just gave you, that you know, the afterburners come on, the tremendous power that is accessible, that will change a person's life. That'll help us just to endure, right? And we haven't even got to the conquering part yet. Thank you for your help this morning. Let's stand. Amen.